Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Calvary. I don't see a single visitor, but I'm going to go ahead and read what Missy told me to anyway. If you are a visitor today, we're glad to have you join us. Please take a moment to complete the visitor tab on the bulletin, tear it off, and place it in the offering plate. She doesn't like it when I go off script, so, but I do it every time, so anyway. So, okay, next week we're going to have a church-wide breakfast at 9:30. You won't want to miss it because our mentor care representative at the high school is going to be here. There'll be two people, and they're going to be sharing with us what they value from us and then what our input to them gives. So if you're not a Sunday school attender, I urge you to come next Sunday so that you can hear what they have to say for us and how we are impacting those students' lives. So we'd appreciate you being
here. We had, I think, 9 in Sunday school this morning. So that's most everybody sitting in here now. We need to see y'all at 9:30 next. Don't miss it. It's going to be good.
Okay, the pastor spoke. You better be here. All right. And don't forget that keep in prayer the students. We already have one student that started and a teacher that's here that's already started. Most of us are starting Tuesday, but keep us in your prayers and keep praying for the mentor care program, but be here next week for that. All right, and then Wednesday, Precepts Revelation Bible Study starts this week in the Fellowship Hall. If you have not received your book, please see Peggy. We also have regular prayer and Bible study here in the sanctuary. So Precepts going to meet where we met last year or last time. Wasn't really a year ago. If you come on Wednesday nights but don't want to do Precepts right here, and then I will still be meeting with the youth on Wednesday nights also. So keep all that in prayer too. And if you'll stand with me and join me in prayer, we'll head into the service. Father God, I thank you for this day. I pray that you speak through Chad, that you have the Spirit speak to all our hearts with the things that you would have us to know. And Lord, as we go forward, I pray that we would outreach to those kids in the mentor care program, that we would outreach to our community, even to our next door neighbor. Lord, I pray that you would give us opportunity to share your love and minister to those around us. It's in Jesus' name I pray.
Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. That's from Psalm 126:3.
Father, we worship you now. We honor you and we glorify you. We give you this moment in time. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Be seated. Lamentations 3:22 and 23 says, "The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh every morning." What a wonderful reminder that his blessings for those of us who have accepted him as our Savior flow like an endless fountain. Let's glorify his name.
Call for songs of loudest praise.
Father, we glorify your name. We give you praise and honor. We thank you for your blessings that you give us so freely. And as we come to this time of worshiping you with our tithes and offerings, may your blessings be over them. And you get the good and the glory from them. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Pray with me. Father, we thank you for your mercy. Let us grasp the depths and the importance of it, that our hearts will be changed, that we will be more like you. As we open your word, open our hearts and our minds. Let the words that are spoken be yours, and let our hearts see you. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Back at the beginning of the year, some of you might remember, I asked you if you only read one book this year, read the Bible. If you read a second one, read this one. It's called the 10-second rule. It's about living Christ daily. Because what Jesus never wanted was a church full of people who only came to church. Let that sink in. Jesus is not interested in us coming to church to check off a box or come to Sunday school to say, I came to Sunday school. What Jesus is interested in is us loving people. That's what he was interested in. Turn with me to the book of Matthew chapter 9. I want to show you something this morning. Matthew chapter 9. I'm going to start reading at verse 9. Matthew 9, verse 9. As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at his tax collector's booth. Follow me and be my disciple, Jesus said to him. So Matthew got up and followed him. That is a whole sermon in itself. We're not going to stop there. Verse 10. Later, Matthew invited Jesus and his disciples to his home as a dinner guest, along with many tax collectors and other disputable sinners. Tax collectors, anybody in here work for the IRS? Is there anything more dreaded than opening your mailbox and pulling out a letter that says IRS at the top of it? Will that make your heart skip a beat? Before you even if it's a refund check, it'll make you skip a beat. They were even worse in this day. Look at verse 11. But when the Pharisees saw this, what were they doing looking to start with? When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, why does your teacher eat with such scum? Verse 12. When Jesus heard this, he said, healthy people don't need a doctor, sick people do. Then zero in on this verse, because for us as Christians, this should be one of the cornerstones of how we live our life. Look at verse 13. Then he added, now go and learn the meaning of this scripture. I want you to show mercy, not offer sacrifices. For I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners. I want you to show mercy, not offer sacrifices. I want you to love people, not go to church. I want you to show compassion on people, not say you were a Sunday school teacher. I want you to show mercy, not offer sacrifices. In the day that Jesus is living, the Pharisees, the church people, they had 613 laws to keep. 613. And this bunch that are running around looking for somebody to slip up, they had to be Baptist. Oh, did you hear what so-and-so did? Do you know what they look like? Why are they wearing that? 613 laws. They were waiting for you to miss one. I can't remember what I had for breakfast, much less 613 things I'm not supposed to do. And Jesus said, I want you to show mercy, not keep all these rules. I went back as I was studying this message, and I keep looking at that. Now go and learn the meaning of this scripture. I want you to show mercy, not sacrifice, not offer sacrifices. I can almost guarantee you most Christians never get this. They never get it. It doesn't mean they're not good Christians. But if you want to go deep into Jesus, it's a different way of life. I found an old song that illustrates this in an incredible way. And I found the version that just has the words. And I want to ask you to listen to this song. Look at the words. And let it penetrate your heart. I don't know how you can focus on that thought and not be overwhelmed at what Jesus did for you. The most stunning reality of Christian life is God's mercy. In a world that is in a state of decay, His mercy never fails. It never ends. It never grows weary. It never runs out. It never ends. It never disappoints. It's always exactly on time. And it never, ever fails. God's mercy for you and I is unbelievable. And what God wants from us is to carry that mercy to a world that is dying. He doesn't want good Christians who just check boxes. He wants people who are showing the world that mercy. That line that you could almost see mercy's face pressed up against the veil, waiting to come get you. Jesus said, go and learn what this scripture means. I want you to show mercy, not offer sacrifice. He's quoting scripture. Go with me to Hosea 6. Hosea 6, verse 6. I want you to show mercy, not offer sacrifices. I want you to know me more than a burnt offering. Their way in this day was very legalistic and very step-oriented in that you need to do this, 1, 2, 3, to receive redemption and repentance for your sins. And Jesus is saying, and what Hosea is saying, that God wants a relationship with you, not a burnt offering. Back up, let's put this in context. To verse 4. O Israel and Judea, what should I do with you? Asked the Lord. For your love vanishes like the morning mist and disappears like dew in sunlight. Let's translate that into something we understand. You love me on Sunday and forget me on Monday. When the Pharisees are watching, you're a good Christian. When they're not watching, you're cussing out the guy who just cut you off in traffic. Your love vanishes like the morning mist and disappears like dew in sunlight. Verse 6, I want you to show love, not offer sacrifices. I want you to know me more than I want a burnt offering. Can you imagine that the God of the universe wants to know you? His mercies are new every morning to make that possible. Because at the end of the day, you and I are so filthy with sin without even trying. And He wants to cleanse us. I read a story this week about a a mom. This was back a few years ago, but she was on the way to church and in a hurry. And ran through a red light to get there. Because she's going to church. A couple of weeks later, in the mail, remember these? Did anybody ever get one? Got one of these little tickets that said, you ran a red light, and here's a picture of you doing it, just so you'll remember. She said she was embarrassed more than anything. She didn't want her husband to find out. He was one of those people who never would do anything like that. Always kept the laws. Didn't drive fast. And she just kind of ignored it and kind of forgot about it. Then she got another notice. And she forgot about that one. And then she got a final notice that her husband opened. And he said, "What is this?" And she said, "I was on the way to church." He said, it needs to be paid. This is your final notice. And then he didn't say anything else. He just went to the computer and paid it. And she said she realized something later on that broke her heart to tears. Because she said, "I saw that notice after he paid it, and I realized the car was in his name. And the violation was on his record. And he didn't chastise me. He didn't put me down. He just paid the fine. And it was on his record. And he did nothing wrong." I want to know you more than I want a burnt offering. I want you to show mercy. And what God desires for you and I is that we be like Him. In a world that does not deserve it. Did you hear me? They don't deserve it. Because what the Pharisees were looking for when they came to see Jesus with the scum of the IRS is, "Oh, you broke this rule." And you don't have to look very far to see people breaking rules. You can do it in this room. "Oh, look, she did this, she did that. He didn't go here. He wasn't in Sunday school this morning." And Jesus says, "I want you to show mercy." You and I have the incredible opportunity on a daily basis to impact the world. How often do you do it? How often do we show mercy? I have a video for you that it's just a portion of it. It was asking people about a stranger they'll never forget. Watch this.
This girl I met on an airplane, she was blind. And she couldn't see outside at the sky and the sunset that was going on. but she felt the heat of it, so she would just ask me what it looked like, so I had to describe it to her. So I remember her because I appreciate sight because of her.
One time I was working a part-time as an Uber driver, and I picked up this man. He was from Vietnam. Somehow, it's been kind of a long time, but I remember him telling me how many people died, Vietnamese died in the Vietnam War, and how he, because of what had happened, he had to go to training, and like right when he was done with training was like the second they stopped the war, so he didn't have to go. And the whole time was hit this story he was telling me on the way to hit where I was taking him to his destination. And he said, you know, sometimes people are very lucky. I was a very lucky man. And he said, sometimes not so lucky. And I was dropping him off at a cancer center. And I don't know why, but it just touched me so much that he shared that with me, and it's always stuck with me. And he was a very lovely man, and I'll always remember him to this day. I just wish that I had stayed with him, because I don't think anyone was there with him for his cancer treatment. That's what I wish to this day.
I was in Pompeii, and this older Italian couple was there, just as some tourists looking at the Pompeii ruins, and they saw that we were Americans, and they came up to me just out of the blue, and they said, are you American? And I said, yes. And they were like, threw their arms around me and said, thank your grandparents. You saved our lives. We always loved Americans for what you did for us after World War II. And as a young American, I never really realized the impact that America had had on Europe at that time. But to that day, the hug from those old people I didn't even know, just because we were Americans, this day has been with me. So
I remember I saw this this homeless man and his two daughters in this alcove in Chicago one night. I'll just always remember it, wishing I could do something more, wishing I would have done something.
I was working in a grocery store, just like heading somewhere to go put something away. This guy goes, you don't look like you belong here. You look like you should be in a larger city doing something important.
So are you in a big city now?
Yeah.
And what are you doing?
I'm a jewelry designer.
So would you say that he was right and that it came true?
Yeah, and I never thought about that. And you'll probably be the third stranger I remember, like, 10 years later.
So it was in Phuket Islands, in Thailand. So I met this girl who came from South Africa. And I don't know, I must have been like 14. And so we met at the swimming pool, and we play like ping pong and everything. And at that time, I didn't speak a word of English, or like with the Singaporean accent, because I lived there. And so she kept on helping me having a better accent. And particularly for three, the thing with the tongue that we in French we don't do. And so I remember that she kept on telling me, say three, three, three. And I have this in mind. And while we were taking the boat, you have the motor of the boat, which makes a lot of sounds. And I was training myself because I knew that no one around could hear me. And I was like, just like, three, three, three. And I remember this girl who was pretty as well and really nice. And thanks to her, I learned the thing with the tongue to speak English. That's the story.
I was doing Peace Corps in Guatemala, and for some reason I was really late in getting to my bus to take me to my little village. And so I knew I was not supposed to be walking at night by myself, but I didn't have any other choice. So I was by myself walking to the bus station, which is kind of a little shady, and this man comes up to me and he says, stay with me right now, you need to walk, take a right, take a right. And I was like, what's going on? And he's like, you're in danger right now. And so we kept walking, we got out of there, and there was, I guess, allegedly a group of guys or a gang that was there that were watching me come in. And so I went to his house, he took me there, and he fed me dinner with his kids, and ended up driving me up to my house. And so it was a pretty amazing experience.
So what made you trust him?
I don't know. There was something about his motive that felt like it was altruistic, that he really cared. I had no idea. It was just instinctual and really fast. But, yeah.
Jesus said, now go and learn the meaning of the scripture. I want you to show mercy, not offer sacrifice. I want to tell you what that means. Are you a stranger that somebody will always remember? Have you given somebody a story like that that they'll never forget because you showed mercy? Are you a stranger that somebody will never forget? Turn with me to the book of James. James chapter 2. This book, The 10-Second Rule, is about following Jesus every moment of your life. Just being a stranger that seizes the opportunity to show mercy. Because when you show mercy, what you're showing is Jesus. James chapter 2, verse 8. Yes, indeed, it is good when you obey the royal law as found in Scripture. Love your neighbor as yourself. But if you favor some people over others, you've committed a sin. You are guilty of breaking the law. Verse 10, for the people who keeps all the laws except one is as guilty as the person who has broken all of God's laws. Drop down to verse 12. So whenever you say, whatever you do, remember that you will be judged by the law that sets you free. There will be no mercy for those who have not shown mercy to others. But if you have been merciful, God will be merciful when He judges you. Verse 14. What good is it, dear brothers, if you say you have faith, but don't show it in your actions? What good is it if you say you have faith and you don't show it in your actions? That's what Jesus said. That's what He wanted us to grasp when He said, go show mercy, not a burnt offering. Pray with me. Father, we thank You that Your mercies are new. They're never ending. They're never failing. They never run out. Your love for us is beyond measure. My prayer for each one of us in this room is that we grasp an understanding of that it so transforms our life, that we create stories of unending number where we were strangers showing mercy to a world that needs it. Father, it's in Your name we pray. Amen. Stand with me and let's sing. Always a blessing to be in this room with you and worshiping a God who loves us. Remember next Sunday morning, 9:30. You people who don't show up till 11, show up at 9:30. You're going to get some good food. Let's go out those doors and show mercy to a world that needs it. Pray with me. Father, we thank you for loving us. Help us to love a world that needs it. It's in your name we pray. Amen.